KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Today on KBOO News In Depth, I'm speaking with John Burt, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Farmers Ending Hunger. Farmers Ending Hunger is an organization that works toward eliminating hunger in Oregon by connecting farmers, processors, and food banks. The pandemic has increased the need for food bank support as millions have lost work or income because of COVID-related closures. At least a quarter of those households who receive emergency food supplies supported by Farmers Ending Hunger have at least one family member employed.
So Farmers Ending Hunger started in 2004 to try to address the hunger problem in Oregon. So let's start out by talking through some of that history.
You bet. Some very smart people and very people with a great, you know, hearts on their sleeves who formed Farmers Ending Hunger really started with our president and really founding board member, Fred Ziary. He's an agricultural irrigation and engineering consultant, office mainly based over in Hermiston, Oregon. And he had actually was in Portland and went to a meeting hosted by Oregon Food Bank. And that was in 2004 or 5. At that point, Oregon was number one in the nation in food insecurity, and it was making front page news. And so Fred goes to the meeting, and he hears about all this, and he's a smart guy, and he says, you know, and he is a really smart guy. He says, I'm pretty smart. I don't know anything about this. I didn't know this, and worse, I'm in agriculture, and I still didn't know about it. So his thinking, the way Fred thinks, is who better to feed hungry people than farmers? And so he decided he was going to go about contacting his farmer friends over in that part of the country, Hermiston, Boardman, Pendleton, all that area, the lower Columbia Basin. And they all said, yes, it was a great idea. What took you so long? So he also talked to some other key people that he knew, and they formed Farmers Ending Hunger. They called it, took them a long time. They found several meetings, he said, and they figured out the name, Farmers Ending Hunger, and created a nonprofit, and then started talking to people. And I showed up a little bit later.
So where's the organization today? What does Farmers Ending Hunger's work look like in 2021?
Well, last year was an interesting year. Talk about 2020, but we still solicit donations from farmers, primarily. That's what we're about, to donate food crops, wheat, which we have then made into baking mix. We get cattle, which we have processed into hamburger. We get large quantities of fresh potatoes, fresh onions. And we also get a pretty sizable amount of fresh sweet cherries each year and other fruit and vegetables that we can work to receive. And all of this is then delivered to or picked up by Oregon Food Bank. So that the Oregon Food Bank and the Oregon Food Bank Network is our primary distribution model. It's it. And so we rely on them for the handling and distribution throughout their statewide network of all the regional food banks and pantries throughout the state. And so we've been doing this for 14 years now, and millions of pounds of high-quality food has made its way to Oregon Food Bank over these years, and we still think the model works. And so we're trying to keep up, and we're always looking for new growers that are willing to donate and ways to get it to the food bank. The other part of our model is to get it to Oregon Food Bank in a form that doesn't require any more processing or handling, and that'll go into a food box. So they have volunteers. I say handling, I mean some of this stuff we send to them, and this was part of the problem last year, is we send semi-loads of, say, potatoes or onions, and they may be bulk or they totally in the truck, or they could be in 1,000-pound super sacks or totes. So it requires volunteers to repackage into, say, you know, like 5-pound bags or 10-pound bags of potatoes and onions that can then go in a food box. And last year, with COVID, there was a period of time, about 2 or 3 months, where Oregon Food Bank wasn't having enough volunteers in because of the restrictions to handle the product. So we had to stop delivering for a little while there. So, but they eventually figured out a way to do it by spacing and getting things going. And a couple of our donors shifted from large totes to 50-pound bags, let's say, that can then be handled by individuals. And so we made it work around it as best we could. But that's our model, and we do anywhere from 3 to 4 million pounds of products a year.
Are there other ways that the pandemic has changed how your organization works?
Yeah, like everybody else, we had to cancel a lot of events that we would have gone to that were potential fundraisers. So fundraising was a bit of an issue. You know, we ended up the year okay. We got a couple of nice donations from supporters, but we had an event that was scheduled over in Pendleton. It was going to be one of these Dancing with the Stars events, and a good fundraiser. It's a big event over there, and we're well established there. Well, that didn't happen, and we were going to have another event in Portland, the Koshan. It's a pork national. It's a national event was going to be held in Portland, and we were going to be the featured nonprofit. Well, that didn't happen. And then our other big one is we're tied in with the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon over there. And we have a day. We have our Farmers Ending Hunger Day during the Roundup in Happy Canyon. And, of course, the Roundup didn't happen either. So that was a little disruptive. Also, some of our donor growers, farmers, because of the restrictions, the amount that they could harvest and get to us was reduced. We work with a cherry grower in the Dalles, and they had to limit the number of pickers that they could have in the orchard at any one time. And so it was a great crop, but even their own production, let alone what they could donate to us, was reduced because of that. They just couldn't do as much because of the restrictions on the numbers of pickers that could be in the orchard at any one time. They just had to work around that. So, yeah, there were some other things that hopefully we'll have worked our way through this year when it gets time for harvest, and we're still counting the events. We're counting on the Pendleton Roundup and some other things to happen, and right now they're planning on having them, you know, and like everybody else, they're waiting to see how things go. But, you know, it's been a little trying, and certainly I know that you're very aware of the demand that was placed on the Oregon Food Bank and the other food banks nationally, and certainly their network last year. And they met the demand. It's pretty amazing. There were lots of other sources of food, federal programs and things that, and other donations besides ours that came in, as well as a lot of cash to purchase food. And so, but the amount went up by about 50% probably from what they had done a year previously. So that was there was a big demand on food, so that didn't go away. And they were pretty much able to meet the demand. It was pretty amazing.
So you mentioned that there's some events. How does your work get supported outside of those farmers who donate a portion of their crops to you to get to Oregon Food Bank?
I'm glad you asked. We have a program, sort of a slogan called Adopt an Acre. And that's the third leg of the stool. We have the growers, processors who donate the food products. We partner with Oregon Food Bank for the handling and distribution. We rely on the public to support us through this Adopt an Acre program, and it's basically a way to donate, and we call it Adopt an Acre. We tie amounts to what might cover an acre's worth of certain crops, but really any amount is desirable. That's how we participate and partner with the public. And we encourage people. We have a website, of course, farmersendinghunger.com. They can look at our website, and lots of ways to donate there, anywhere it says Adopt an Acre. And that's been a pretty major, you know, we get business support, business organizations, but lots of individuals also support us and is very encouraged. So you basically help get that theoretical acre of product from point A to point B and help us cover any associated processing costs. Because we do try to cover all those associated costs before it gets to Oregon Food Bank so that they don't have any additional cost involved with receiving the product from us.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with John Burt, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Farmers Ending Hunger. We're talking about how the organization works to end hunger in the state by linking donations from farmers to food processors and the Oregon Food Bank.
And since you're the executive director, to your mind, or from your perspective, why is there such a hunger problem in our state, and how are farmers related to that solution?
Well, I think, you know, we're talking on related to Earth Day, and certainly any sustainability model includes being able to feed people on a sustainable basis. That, to me, you can't have any kind of other food system model that's sustainable if there isn't enough food in the system to feed everybody. So that kind of thinking feeds into it. Well, why are so many people still accessing food banks? Prior to the COVID-19 last year, prior to that, the food banks actually saw, for the first time in a long time, actual reductions. You know, the recession of 2009 pushed it right back up, and we actually saw the numbers and the tons and amounts all go down a little bit, 2017-18. First time people had seen that in year, you know, decades probably. It always stayed the same or gone up a little bit. The recession pushed it up. So the history of it there is, well, why Oregon? Why is Oregon number one at that point? We're right in the middle of the pack now, maybe 10 or 15. We tend to run a little higher on childhood nutrition. But what I have heard from people who, from the Oregon Hunger Task Force, does research for the legislature, and the information Oregon State University has done, really looked into a lot of the data. Why Oregon? And the answers that I get are that the cost of housing related to income, the cost of other things like energy, fuel, energy, electricity, all that, so utilities compared to income, even though we have one of the higher minimum wages in the country, we still, the income, family income, is not there compared to the cost of those things. And those are the factors that I see weighed in. There's certain parts of the demographics of who needs a food box that are kind of obvious. Single parents, usually more predominantly single mother, single women parents, the cost of daycare, the cost of all these other things, housing, everything, compared to income, means that even though you may be on food stamps, get supplemental, SNAP benefits, it doesn't quite make it to the end of the month. And that last week to get a food box to make it through is who we see. We don't see people all the time. You know, you're in a income category where things are tight and you have a dental bill or you have a car repair bill or something happens and you just can't make it that month, and so come in that one time or two times to access the food bank to take advantage of that that food, because that's the last thing that people pay or spend money on when they're that tight, income is that tight. You got to pay the rent, you got to pay electricity, if you got a car payment, you got to pay these other things or they'll cut you off or you get evicted, which is why we see the homeless situation. Food is discretionary, and so you can see that people go down to the last minute and the last thing they've got there is food, and then adults, parents will feed their children first, and then there's sometimes just not enough at the end of that month to do it. So that's where we're the safety net for many people, and there's a network of over 900, close to 1,000 pantries, agency members throughout the state of Oregon that actually deliver the food through meal sites. There are many meal sites in communities, but also through the various pantries that are there. There may be some other factors, but those are the ones that I've seen and heard over and attested to by folks that do this research and look into it.
Yeah, and then you mentioned also, you brought up briefly Earth Day, which is on Thursday, April 22nd. And, you know, being that time of the year, addressing climate change is definitely on people's minds right now. Can you speak a little more to how your organization plays into that effort in the spirit of Earth Day?
Well, the growers are very keen on what's going on in climate change and availability of irrigation water. Many of these crops that we get are irrigated crops, potatoes, onions, not so much cherries, but some of them are. The vegetables certainly are irrigated, so the supply of water, the change in climate, the amount of rainfall, the temperature changes, those all affect agriculture, and they affect agriculture in other areas. You know, we're an international system in agriculture, and so things that affect other parts of the world will certainly affect us, and sometimes will affect the markets out there. So the growers that we work with are very much involved, and I was very encouraged that the United Nations adopted zero hunger as one of their sustainable goals for the future, and tied it to Earth Day, because I think it's, like I said before, I don't think a system is sustainable if there isn't enough food for everybody. And there's many parts of the world where this doesn't happen, and it's not necessarily we can't produce enough, it's just that we can't get it to people and get it to people in a safe way. So the distribution, storage, handling, all that comes into play, and it's disturbing when you're involved in something like agriculture and to see that despite our best efforts, there's some people that still can't get enough food.
And when you are talking to new people about your organization, do you encounter misconceptions about what the impact of farmers ending hunger is?
Sometimes, yes. Growers ask, okay, where does this food I'm donating go? Who's getting it? And there are misconceptions that I think many people think that, well, it's totally people that are on the welfare rolls forever and they're not working and they're just looking for a handout. And as I described before, I think, and I didn't say the number, I think something like 60% of those getting a food box, there are somebody in the family's working, so it's more working poor. So, yes, I do get those questions. Most of them get the idea. In fact, we've on camera sometimes, we've asked growers, you know, doesn't this cost you take from the bottom line? Yes, it does. They say, well, then why are you doing it? And to a person, I've heard them say, because it's the right thing to do. They get feeding hungry people. And so once they understand that it comes back to your community, that there's a distribution model, we're working with Oregon Food Bank, reliable, very well-known, reliable organization, and we have very little overhead in our as a nonprofit, that their product is going to go directly without too many moving parts, going to go directly to somebody that needs it in a food box. And once they understand that, and some of the explanation about, well, why are so many people hungry and why is there this problem, farmers that I have talked to get it. They get the idea of feeding hungry people. And so, but there are some misconceptions, and they ask the right question, you know, where is this going, and who's going to get it? Is it all going to Portland? No, it's not all going to Portland. It gets distributed back out through the state. And we often have product that's left out in the regional food banks just because it doesn't make sense to send it to Portland and send it back. So,
John, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Well, I'd encourage people. Of course, the whole, as you know, the business of nonprofits is fundraise, fundraise, fundraise. I hate to say that, but it's what it is. We need help to continue to support the Oregon Food Bank and to continue to do what we do. So I'd encourage people to search out get to our website, farmersendinghunger.com. It's www.farmersendinghunger.com. And check us out. There's some farmer stories on there. And the need is still great. The issue, the COVID, obviously we know the economy hasn't recovered yet. The numbers haven't exactly tailed off or begin to decline very much. So the food bank, the demand of the food banks is still up. So now as much as ever, we still need people's support and awareness of what's going on in the whole hunger issue.
I've been speaking with John Burt, the executive director of the nonprofit organization Farmers Ending Hunger. More information about the group can be found online at farmersendinghunger.com. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.